The last few Mishnayos have begun discussing two invalidating intentions that one can have whilst performing one of the four avodas, the shechita, the slaughtering of the animal, the kabbalah, which is the receiving and catching of the blood, the halacha, the transporting of the blood towards the mizbeach, and the zrika, throwing that blood onto the mizbeach. One invalidating intention is that of chutz lizmanoi. If the kohen performs one of those avodas with the intention of continuing the procedure of the bringing of the korban beyond its fixed time limit, and in such a case the korban would become pigel, and if somebody eats that, he would be liable to the punishment of kores, where he's so to speak cut off from Hashem. And the second invalidating thought is that of chutzim koimoi, where he performs one of the four avodas with the intention of continuing the procedure outside of the place limit. For example, he has the intention to eat a korban outside of Yerushalayim. That would also invalidate the korban. However, there is no punishment of kores for somebody who eats that meat. Now, the previous Mishnah elaborated on a condition for something to be considered pigel, where there is a liability of kores for somebody who eats that meat. And that condition is that there cannot be any other invalidating intention other than chutz lizmanoi, that he has the intention to continue the procedure beyond its time limit. But if there's any other invalidating intention, then the korban would not become pigel, rather it would just be invalid, but then one who eats the meat would not be liable to kores. This Mishnah continues elaborating on that condition, and the Mishnah tells us that if somebody performs one of the avodas, for example, he slaughters the korban with the intention, le'echol kazayis b'chutz, to eat the size of an olive of the meat of the korban outside of the area where he is allowed to eat it, v'kazayis l'mochar, and he has the intention to eat another kazayis, the size of an olive, of that same korban beyond the time limit. Let's say in 3 days' time he plans on eating it. Or kazayis l'mochar v'kazayis b'chutz. The first kazayis that he thinks of, he plans on eating beyond the time limit, and then he thinks that he's going to eat another part of the animal, the size of an olive, outside of the permitted area where he's able to eat it. Kachat zayis b'chutz v'kachat zayis mochar. Or if he has the intention to eat half of the size of an olive. An olive is the size of an olive is the minimum size for which he would be liable to kores. He has an intention to eat half the size of an olive outside of the permitted area, and half of it beyond the time limit. Kachat zayis l'mochar, kachat zayis b'chutz. Or the first half size of an olive that he thinks about, he plans on eating beyond the time limit, and the next half size of an olive that he thinks about, he plans on eating outside of the permitted area. In all of these cases, possible, certainly the korban is invalid, but the Einbo Kores, Kores would not apply, since there is another invalidating intention other than chutz lizmanoi, to eat it beyond the permitted time. Rabbi Yehuda is now going to argue on this entire condition, which we've seen over the last two Mishnayos, and he's going to say a slightly different rule. Omar Rabbi Yehuda said, Zaklol, this is the rule. Im machshavas hazman kodmon machshavas hamokoyim. If his invalidating thought of chutz lizmanoi, that he's going to eat it beyond the time limit, if that preceded his thought of eating it outside of the correct place, so let's say, for example, he slaughtered it with an intention of chutz lizmanoi, and then he received the blood with an intention of eating it beyond its permitted place. Since the first stage it was a chutz lizmanoi intention, so it receives the name of pigel, it receives the status of pigel, and v'chayav al kores, one would be liable to kores if he eats it, even though there was a different invalidating thought afterwards. Since it already gained the status of pigel, that remains. Whereas if the invalidating thought to eat it beyond its permitted place came before his intention to eat it beyond the permitted time, possible, it would be invalid, the punishment of kores would not apply. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it all depends upon the first invalidating thought that he has. The Chachom say, no, zev ozev possible Einbo Kores, in either case, it would be invalid, and the punishment of kores would not apply in any case where there is an additional invalidating intention other than chutz lizmanoi, to eat it within the permitted time. Alright, ends of the Mishnah. Lechol kachat zayis or lehagd kachat zayis. If somebody had an intention to eat half the size of an olive and to burn half the size of an olive of Emurim, and both of them he intends on doing outside of the time limit or the place limit, even though in total that does reach the size of an olive, which is the minimum amount in order to be liable to kores, the Mishnah says nevertheless, kosher, the korban is actually totally valid in achilu v'aktar mitztarfin, because the small amounts of the korban that he had intentions of eating or burning in a forbidden way, they do not combine, since they're talking about different things. One is talking about eating, one is talking about burning, and therefore they don't combine, and anything less than the size of an olive is considered insignificant. Perek Yud Mishnah Aleph. The first Mishnah in the previous Perek provided a list of different people or different ways of performing the avodas which would invalidate them. But the Mishnah stated very clearly that that's only true regarding the last three avodas, the last three services, but not regarding the first one, shechita, slaughtering the animal. And indeed, this Mishnah tells us that kol ha'pasulin sheshachatu, all of those invalid people which were listed regarding the last three services, if they slaughtered the animal, shechitasan ksheira, their slaughtering would be valid. Even a regular Jew, a non-Kohen, for example, is able to slaughter the korban. Shashechita kasheira bazarim, because the slaughtering is valid even if it's done by a non-Kohen, by noshim, even if it is done by a woman. All of the services which need to be done by a Kohen need to be done by a male Kohen. But the slaughtering, the shechita, which can be done by anybody, can even be done by a woman, uva avodim, and it can even be performed by a non-Jewish slave. A non-Jewish slave is considered to be partly Jewish, he's obligated to keep the mitzvahs, and he would be able to perform that slaughtering. And in fact, the Mishnah says, uva tameim, even somebody who is impure, he is tomei, even he would be able to perform the shechita, and it would be valid if he did it. Afilu b'kodshei kodshim, even with the korbanos which have a higher level of holiness, and so there are certain ways in which they are more stringent, but over here, the slaughtering would be valid by these people even regarding these korbanos. Uvuvaj lo yu tomeim negim abosar, as long as somebody who is tomei, if he's slaughtering the animal, they need to make sure that he doesn't touch the meat of the animal, he doesn't touch the animal once it has been slaughtered. The law is that an alive animal cannot become tomei, it cannot become impure, but as soon as the animal has been slaughtered, it can become tomei. Now, if the korban becomes tomei, it becomes totally invalidated, and it's forbidden to turn a korban into something which is tomei and invalid. And in fact, the Gemara explains that midrabbanon, it's forbidden for a tomei person to slaughter the animal. The Mishnah is just telling us that if he did it, it would still be valid as long as he didn't touch the animal. Now, there's an additional problem, because a tomei person is forbidden to enter into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and the shechita, the slaughtering of the korban, needs to be done within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So how exactly is this tomei person going to do the slaughtering anyway? The Gemara explains that technically speaking, you could get an extra long knife, and the tomei person would stand outside, and he would reach in, and he'd perform the shechita like that. Interesting. Now, what exactly has all of this got to do with our discussion of pigul, or the other invalidating intention of chutzlim koimoi, where you intend to eat or burn the emurim outside of the designated place? The answer is that these invalidations only apply if they happen, if they occur during an avodah, when one of the four services are being performed. It's only considered to be an avodah service if it's done and performed by somebody who is fitting to perform that service. And that's why the Mishnah says, these people who are able to do the slaughtering, and the slaughtering is valid if done by them, lefichach, therefore, him pleislim amachshava, they would invalidate the korban if they have intentions of chutz lizmanoi, to eat or burn the korban beyond its time limit, or chutzim koimoi, beyond its place limit, because it's considered to be a real part of the service. V'kulon shekiblus hadom, however, if any of these people received the blood, or they did the halacha, they transported the blood towards the Mizbeach, or the Zerika, throwing the blood onto the Mizbeach, chutz lizman v'chutzim koimai, with the intentions of continuing the procedure beyond its time limit or beyond its place limit, then they would not invalidate the entire korban, since what they did is not even considered to be a service, it's not considered to be an avodah. Now, the blood itself, which they used, obviously is not going to help. We're just lacking the avodah. So the Mishnah says, "Yesh dam hanefesh," if there is still blood coming out of the dead animal, which we can use as a replacement, and it needs to be specifically blood which is still emerging from the animal with a force. So it must be that it was slaughtered very recently, such that the blood is still flying out of the animal with a force. So that blood is the only blood which is valid for all of these services. If there is that blood still, then yachzar akosher v'yikabel, a valid person should go back and receive the blood and continue with the rest of the avodas, because the korban itself is still valid, since although there was an invalidating intention, it was performed by somebody who was not fit to do that service at all, and therefore it's not considered to be a service, such that the invalidating intentions cannot invalidate the korban. Mishnah Beis, Kibbul HaKosher, if somebody who is valid to perform the avodas, the services, he received the blood, he did the Kabbalah, once the animal was slaughtered, v'nosan apostle, and he gave over that blood to somebody who is invalid to perform this avodah. For example, he gave it over to a non-Kohen. As long as the non-Kohen didn't move with that blood, he didn't start transporting it towards the Mizbeach, he didn't attempt to do an avodah. So not only is that korban not invalidated, but even that same blood does not become invalidated, and yachzer l'kosher, he should give it back to the person who is valid and able to perform the service, and he can continue with that blood. If somebody who is a regular kohen, he's fit to do the service, he received the blood, he did the Kabbalah with his right hand, as he should do, and then he put the utensil holding the blood into his left hand. Now all of the services need to be performed with one's right hand. But since he didn't do anything whilst it was in his left hand, all he needs to do is yachzer l'imino, return the blood into his right hand, and continue with the rest of the services. If he would have started transporting the blood with his left hand, then it would invalidate that blood, and he would need to start again getting more blood if there is available. But since he didn't perform any avodah with his left hand, so it's okay, the fact that it was in his left hand in between the avodas is irrelevant. If he received the blood in a utensil which was holy, it had been designated to the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of using it as part of the service of the Korbanos, and then he poured the blood into a regular non-holy utensil which had not been designated for use as the services, so it can't be used. Nevertheless, since he didn't do anything like that, all he needs to do is yachzer l'chli kodesh, he needs to put the blood back into the utensil which is designated for this purpose, and he can continue doing the avodas with that. Nishpach min akli ala ritzpa, if the blood spilt from the utensil onto the floor, va'asofai, and he gathered up the blood and put it back into the utensil, kosher, it's valid. We learned in the previous perek that if the blood exited the animal's body and went onto the floor, it becomes invalidated. That's only in a case where a kabbalah hadn't been done, but in this case where a kabbalah had been done, he had received the blood already into a utensil. Even if it falls onto the floor after that, he can gather it back into the utensil and it would still be valid. Now these are all cases where he hasn't yet got rid of the blood, but what happens if he did the zrika, he threw the blood onto the mizbeach in a way that doesn't work? So now in order to fix the zrika, he's going to have to start again and get new blood. The Mishnah says in a sonoi agavi akevesh, if he threw the blood onto the ramp of the mizbeach or on a part of the mizbeach which didn't have a base at the bottom of it, the yesoid, the protruding base at the bottom of the mizbeach, surrounded only part of the mizbeach, and the blood needs to be thrown on a part of the mizbeach which has a yesoid, it has part of the yesoid at the bottom of it. So if he threw the blood in a different area of the mizbeach, it would not be a valid zrika. Nosan es hanatonin lemato lemalon, ves hanatonin lemalo lematon. If he threw blood which was supposed to be thrown at the bottom half of the mizbeach at the top, where it was supposed to be thrown at the top half, and yet he threw it on the bottom half, es hanatonin bifnim bachutz, ves hanatonin bachutz bifnim. If he threw blood which was supposed to be placed, thrown on the inner mizbeach, within the Beis HaMikdash building, but instead he threw it on the outer mizbeach in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, or the opposite, it was blood which was supposed to be thrown on the mizbeach in the courtyard, but he threw it instead on the inner mizbeach inside the Beis HaMikdash building. In all these cases, he's going to have to start again. If there is still blood exiting the animal's body with a force, blood which is valid to be used for these services, then Yachza Koshevi Kabel, a valid Kohen, should go back and receive the blood in a utensil and perform the rest of the Avodas with that blood. So to summarize, there are three levels. There's a case where the Korban itself can become totally invalid and it won't help to bring more blood because the entire Korban is invalid. And that can happen only if the service is performed by somebody who is fit to perform the service and he has an invalidating intention of Chutzis Manai or Chutzim Koimai. The second level is where the blood becomes invalid, but the korban itself is valid, so you can just go back and get more blood. That's in a case where an avodah was performed in an incorrect way, but without an invalidating intention. And the third level is where you can even continue using that blood. Even that particular blood doesn't become invalidated, and that is when, in between the avodahs, you do something which you're not supposed to, like putting it into your left hand. There's no problem in doing that if it's not at the time of an avodah. Mishnah Gimel, Asher Gedaz HaZevach, one who slaughters a animal korban, and he has an intention of chutz zmanei or chutz mkoimei, to eat it beyond its time or place limit. Those are invalidating intentions which can totally invalidate the korban. But in this case, his intention was le'echel dovash ein darker le'echel, to eat a part of the korban which is not generally supposed to be eaten. Rather, it's supposed to be offered as part of the emurim on the mizbeach, or lahakter dovash ein darker lahakter. He has the intention to offer on the mizbeach to burn something which is not part of the emurim which is supposed to be burnt. And he has the intention to do that, chutzes mani or chutzim koyma, he says the Mishnah kosher. The korban remains valid because these invalidations only apply to something which is generally supposed to be eaten, and you have the intention to do that at the wrong time. But not if it's anyway not supposed to be eaten or not supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer Poisel. However, Rabbi Eliezer does invalidate the korban based on this, and they argue in how to learn the law from Pesukim. What happens if the intention was lechel dovash daiku lechel lahak dovash daiku lahak der, to eat something which is supposed to be eaten and is generally eaten, or to burn the emurim on the mizbeach, which are generally burnt, pochs mekazayis, but his intention regarded a part of the animal which was less, it was smaller than the size of an olive. Kosher, once again, the korban remains valid because less than the size of an olive is considered to be insignificant. And finally, lechel kachatizayis or lahakde kachatizayis, if he had the intention to eat half a kazayis, half the size of an olive, and to burn on the mizbeach half the size of a kazayis, and both of them was to be either chutzis mani or chutzim koimai, kosher, the korban would remain valid in achilav aktarim and starfin, because invalidating intentions regarding eating, together with invalidating intentions regarding burning on the mizbeach, they do not combine to make up the minimum size necessary to invalidate the korban. This last part of the Mishnah should be noted was said already word for word at the end of the second perek. It's repeated here nevertheless to show us that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees.